Hello everyone. Hello everyone. Today I have the great pleasure and honor to receive Ilana de Villiers, right? Did I pronounce well your name?
Exactly, de Villiers in French, de Villiers,
de Villiers
in English.
Okay, great. She is a young entrepreneur who is launching a very interesting startup to fight against food waste. With a very interesting approach. So, hello, Ilana, how are you?
Hello, Aris. First of all, thank you so much for having me today. I'm super good. And the sun is out and winter is finally finished. So, of course, I'm great.
great. It's a very real pleasure to have you today with the show. So, Ilana, could you please a little bit talk about your background, where are you from, and what did you study, and the kind of what can I say? Because I see on your LinkedIn that you're a lawyer by training, and also you work it as a business developer. So it's very interesting to see that you have this two kind of approach. You know, at the same time, very legal. Mindset and also a business developer, because it's a little bit at the opposite. The business developer always want to go fast, and the lawyer mindset is to more pre-conservative. So I would like to hear about all of this point.
of course, it's I have, as you said, a double background, so law and business. So in entrepreneurship and innovation. Now I will give you the background behind, because of course my life changed and I decided to have another path. Well, it suddenly happened because I find purpose in my life. So basically I was studying law. I was studying my master's degree, and of course I did a lot of trainings in law offices. And it was in Strasbourg. It was in 2015-16, when all the scandals of food waste arose. And I was in this legal background. So I actually dig deeper into the subject because it interested me, because it was, first of all, shocking that you could see all of these amounts of food going to the bins of supermarkets, nonetheless still edible and consumable because the expiry dates were not attained. And one day, a friend invited me over dinner. And at the end of the dinner, he told me, "Yeah, Ilana, do you know where the products come from?" And I was like, "Well, I guess that they come from the supermarket of your street." And he was like, "Well, not that far. I actually dumpster dive the products in the bin of the supermarket of my street."
Wow.
So, yeah, it was super, super shocking, right? So just to be frankly honest, I lost 35 tons of shades, thought I would die. But in the end, I'm still alive, as you can see. So it's potentially, it's all started like there. Like, because, it was super shocking to have a friend dumpster diving. We talk about dumpster diving. We talk about food waste. We talk about poverty and all of that. And we never could imagine that it could happen to your neighbors, to your family, to, the people around you. And this was actually the green light for me. So I had an idea. It was basically to link demand to need. So to link the products that are still available but going to waste to people who need that. Because as a student, you might know, and as everybody know in the world, I guess, having a tiny budget and living on this budget is kind of difficult. So the first budget that actually shrinks is the budget for food. So eating pasta, rice, potatoes, and instant noodles to the best is not really a stereotype, but it's the saddest truth.
That reminds me some old memories about noodles.
See, voilà. We all have this memory in common. We talk about our generations, the generations before, and it's still the same. We all have this hard life of a student that is actually, you're not eating super healthy because you're obliged to. And if you need to eat healthy, you need to have a huger budget to do so. And in 2015-16, there were not a lot of solutions. Well, actually zero in France in order to eat healthier at cheaper prices, right? So all of this led to, let's try to start something, just link a demand to need. Supermarkets anyways need to get rid of those products. And people who have less income would like to have access to those qualitative products. So that is how it all started. Obviously, I called my family, I exposed my idea, they supported it, they were like, okay, go for it. So since I had a law background, what I did is I already trademarked the next day after the green light of my family, the project. It took obviously a bit more than one day, you know, the legal background. But it really served me a lot because I saw a lot of loopholes in the law. And there was something there and there was an opportunity to seize. So of course, I was a bit more conservative. As you know, lawyers have this strict way of handling things. So I was like, okay, you potentially need to follow studies that will help you to develop this company. So because obviously I had no background in business, except, you know, jobs on the side as a student whatsoever, but it was still not really business, right? So I decided to follow the Entrepreneurship and Innovation Master's degree at the University of Luxembourg, which helped me a lot. And they accepted this wonderful idea. And so this is how it all started. This was the steps of FRA.
Are you yourself from Luxembourg or the Benelux, or are you from France?
Sorry? Could you repeat?
Sorry. Are you yourself from Luxembourg or the Benelux, or are you from France?
No, I'm a proper European, so I'm half Dutch, half French, living in Luxembourg.
Okay, great. So that explains why you speak so perfectly French and also Dutch, right?
That's really nice. I don't consider my English or French or Dutch perfect, but I say I can still talk, so that's great.
No, believe me, your language is excellent. Just a question about this era of business that you are committing to. I know that there is a huge regulation, you know, for the food when they reach, you know, their date, their deadline. And most supermarket chain also are very scared, you know, to let people to eat this food because they don't want to have problem, you know, and to be sued at the court. So how do you deal that with this regulation?
Well, actually, you know, regulations, what is written is written, right? So you need to follow the regulations. But nonetheless, you have very particularities and a lot of particularities in the supermarket area. So there is a lot of practice that you need to understand. So obviously for supermarkets, which is totally normal, right? They had already problems by letting people take the food and all of that, because you know how humans can be. And it led to several trials already. So obviously they also have to protect themselves, right?
Exactly.
And on the other hand, you know, you have so many people that unfortunately, and especially, you know, due to Corona, they lost their jobs and, you know, the economical situation is not potentially the best today. So you have a lot of people that actually want to eat healthy, and you know this eating healthy habits is growing more over years, so obviously there is a huge paradox there. So how to deal with it is basically we are offering a service for supermarkets and for consumers, right? So we take the consumer's point of view into consideration because we co-created this app. So we co-created an app in order to see what consumers really wanted to see and not create something and force it on the market, because force it on the market is 50-50% chance. So this is how we started the adventure, right? So we created this beautiful app. And slowly but surely, so we started our activities with Deleuze, part of the Ahold Deleuze group, and also Pal Center, which is a Luxembourgish national chain. And it rapidly grew. And so we seized also opportunities on the market. We did a lot of astonishment reports because for us, you know, new in this industry, we were a bit shocked on certain processes and we wanted to help them further. And so today we have a B2B2C mission, meaning that we are looking at food waste, but from its roots. The roots is not the tons of products at the end. No, the roots is the management system. Bad management system, or not really a bad management system, I would say a not appropriate management system. And so by working with them, we basically seized this opportunity. And so we said, okay, so we already have a software, you know, digesting the data. What should we do about it? You know, we need to maximize something in order to help them further. Get access, like develop digitalization rapidly for them. We're in 2021. We absolutely need to increase digitalization. And, you know, multinationals, potentially they have the means, right? But digital and the digital area is growing fast and is moving fast. So we really need to offer services for them in order for them to have access to better digitalization, but also tailored digitalization on their level. So we have several products today enabling them, well, to have access to this digitalization, but also to use FRA app as a showroom, because basically the FRA app is a showroom for them.
I have two questions. One is with the support of the entrepreneurship program and the incubator of the Luxembourg University. How did they bring you their support? How did you get your first meeting with the supermarket chain executives and deciders? And the second question is about the gap itself, and maybe I will ask it after.
Yeah, for sure. So your first part of the question was the help of the university and the university incubator. Well, basically, the network of them is excellent. The expertise that they have are excellent. As a startup, you know, you don't have like trillions of financial means. You did the family, fools and friends round. So, you know, you try to move on this and to optimize the budget as you can. And this beautiful university has such a wide network, so good experts, that they helped us a lot. They helped us a lot to develop certain areas of the business, to give us a background, and also, you know, this open-mindedness and because we were every day in this field. And so they were outsiders and helping us, you know, to have this outside look. Now, the first client, it was not via university. It was basically, you're gonna laugh. So we have social media, right? And LinkedIn is the social media platform per excellence for the professional area.
Absolutely.
And so we made certain research and we're like, okay, these clients are the perfect for us. So we do a KYC, obviously, before contacting any clients, because we are not contracting with all of the clients, right? They need to fit our culture and they need to respect the environment and sustainability, of course.
Sure.
So not all of them are, of course, the perfect clients for us. But of course, we can give them also help in this areas, only if they commit to it, for sure. And so the first clients, what we did is we screened who is the country manager of this chain. And we contacted him directly on LinkedIn. And basically, in 30 minutes, we managed to have the first meeting. And this is how we got our first partner.
This is great. And without talking confidential, just about the confidential discussion, how was his, how did he receive you, you know, as an entrepreneur? I know he certainly was, certainly is a big professional, you know, with a lot of responsibility, big budget, etc. How was the meeting? Was it receptive to your idea or how was it?
Well, he was amazing. Like it's thanks to him that we are there today. Like without him, it would have never been possible. The first meeting was brilliant. He saw immediately the potential. He saw that it was really a great tool and that it could really help and that this was needed. And it was back in 2017, right? So it was really at the premises of food waste solutions. And of course he immediately saw the benefits of it, and so yeah, it was more than positive. And of course we were stressed, it was our first clients meeting, we were like overstressed and we're thinking, you know, the worst case scenarios already in our head, but not at all. It was like an awesome meeting and it was super positive, and again, thanks to him, nothing would have happened today. So I am grateful every day for this meeting to have happened, and we prove every day that yes, it's worthwhile, and that we will certainly not deceive our partners.
And during this first meeting, during this first commercial meeting, very important for you, Did you have any something to show? I don't know, some mock-up or prototype or nothing. Just your idea and your pitch and your motivation. You know.
That is a very good question. Well, I think now I can talk about it today because, yeah, well, 2 years and a half ago, like, well, it was even more, 2017. It's like 4 years ago. Oh my God. Yeah, 4 years ago. So we were very creative, right? And the Master of Entrepreneurship and Innovation helped us a lot to structure all of that. And basically it was an idea that we sold. And of course we presented already something existent and all of that. We made a lot of research. My legal background helped me a lot as well to get us through to, you know, analyze the annual reports of supermarkets and all of that. So for us it was a perfect moment, you know, surfing on the law and like knowing the loopholes and when they where they could actually, you know, benefit from it and being green, because it's not because you're green that you're an ONG. It needs to be clear and understood by everyone. You can obviously do green business and it exists. So basically, in growth terms, I would say we sold paper. But it gave us the green light, and so you know, fire under our asses. And so once we had this positive response, we immediately developed everything. So we had developers. Our CTO today was our board advisor by the time. And so, yeah, it moves pretty quickly. We did the co-creation sessions 3 times the year in order to outperform the developments. But again, the co-creation sessions were really funny as well, because the first co-creation session was the following. It was a test my app, but there was no app to test. Only screenshots, paper, yeah. Screenshots. And so, yeah, this is how we developed and we gathered feedback. And we developed a good product that has a good market fit. And so, yeah, the start of FRA was very funny, let's say.
And the co-creation, you did it with the supermarket chain or with the clients also of the supermarket?
So with end consumers, not with the supermarkets, because all supermarkets, you know, they work potentially 50% the same, but you have a lot of particularities, so you need to tailor to all of your clients. But what is important is to understand the end consumer, right? What end consumers want, what the shoppers want, what they want to see in supermarkets, because the supermarket area today is even more complex than before. So, you know, to attract customers, how to retain customers, what do the customers want to see and be adapted to the environment and sustainability, right? So it was very, very complex, but we managed to get it through.
How did you recruit your customer to work with you? Did you do it with a content marketing strategy, you know, by blogging or video or type form? How did you manage to recruit your customer, your end user to co-design with them the solutions?
Well, we have a company in Luxembourg that is Test My App from Philip Brother. Mm-hmm. And he basically managed everything, you know, creating those focus groups and doing the questionnaires, type forms, all of that, you know, the interviews. We had one-to-one interviews with all of the end customers. So yeah, this is how we managed to develop those co-creation sessions. And on the other side, what we did is we also did questionnaires in Luxembourg, and we were in the streets and we were asking a lot of people, and we actually managed to gather over 3,000 responses plus the focus groups. And so we believe we actually gathered the real insights of the Luxembourg country. You need to count that we're only 600,000 people and already having 3,000 feedbacks, over 3,000 feedbacks, plus the focus groups. Basically, we believe it was really representative of Luxembourg.
Wow. This is amazing. Now let's talk a little bit about the solution itself and how it works. Even we don't have any screenshot or I think people can understand, because I will put all the links below your interview, so people can then visit the website and download the app if they live in Luxembourg. I'm in France, so I couldn't test it, but I see some screenshots. And if I understood, if I understood well how it works, on the app, I can choose a product available in the nearest supermarket, right? And the product is reaching its deadline. And because it's reaching its deadline, I have a discount on it, right? Something like that?
Definitely. So it's exactly like that. Grocery is exactly like that. So as an end customer, you can scroll all the products that are close to the expiry dates around you. Mm-hmm. On top of that, we do video recipes in order to inspire you of how to cook them. You have access to the written recipes as well. You can see the impact on CO2 level, money-wise, so how much you've saved, right, by doing this act, by buying those products at cheaper prices. You have access to a lot of great features that I will let you discover. So basically, it's an app that helps you to grocery shop. It goes a bit further.
And now, how many products can you, how many eatable products can you reference on your app? Do you have all, or are you still in kind of beta test? You're focusing on a group of food, or you already have all the food available in the supermarket?
Well, we have all the food available of the supermarkets that are marked up. So it depends the category. Yeah. Mm.
And the food are automatically linked to your app, right? The supermarket, your partner supermarket links the product he has in reference directly automatically with the information system to your app. So you know that there is a new reference that's reaching its deadline and they offer you a price or something like that.
Exactly, depending on your preferences. So the app is hyper-personalized per consumer. And the app is free, by the way. Mm. So it's a unique experience. And the products are updated in real time. So there are no bad surprises. You know, you're informed if, you know, the stocks are low whatsoever. So it's not a surprise. You know what you're choosing is for you. So you will not waste the products at your place, since you know what you're choosing and you know what you're buying. Mm-hmm. And you, as an end consumer, have the choice.
Are your company plugged to the database, to the database of the supermarket directly, and you have the information, the digital information, as well, how can I say, immediately when it's available, you know, about the deadline of a product, or staff of the supermarket need to fill a form and send you something like that?
Well, staff of the supermarkets do not do anything that change inside. They have no additional processes. They still do their usual professional life. There is strictly nothing that changes for them. Really? We wanted to ease the process as much as possible. So it's on an IT level, obviously, that we are integrated. And depending on the supermarket we have in front of us with the IT capabilities, we have different ways of onboarding systems. So in some cases, we have the database. In other cases, we have the products and we decorate the data around it. So we are a tech company. So we manage to do a lot of magical stuff.
Great. Fascinating. So now you have one co-founder, right? Or two?
We started originally. I asked one of my friends by the time to join the super adventure. But as you may know, entrepreneurship is not made for everyone. And we decided to split our ways. And the CTO, who was our advisor by the time, still there since 2017, is still in the company and is our CTO now full time. And so I can say that yes, I have a co-founder now.
So you're two people.
No. The other co-founder is a shareholder, so she's not part of the company since 2019 December anymore. She's still part of the history, right? She developed it in the start with us and all of that. But yeah, as I say, you know, entrepreneurship is not made for everyone, and otherwise, we would know about it. And she decided to have another way. And today she's part of the history, but not part of the company anymore.
Yes, my question is more about the operation right now. So you are you're two people working this amazing system, just two, right? You're two people.
Today in the company? No. We're 17.
Ah, you're 17.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. So, yeah. Okay. Thanks. Great position. So 17 people who are working on this great system and making it work. Great.
Yeah, and we are growing. So I say today we're 17. Potentially in several months we will be a little bit more. Well, potentially it's not potentially, it is the case. So the company is growing. So we started two, then three of us, mm-hmm. and then one of the co-founders left, and we grew like drastically. So today we're 17 in 2 years and a half, which is pretty good. And yeah, we'll continue. Wow. We'll continue that way.
Great. This is fascinating. I have also a question about your fundraising. Did you raise funds with business angels or venture capital or your partner supermarket? Did they commit as a financial partner also?
So yes, we fundraised. We fundraised with VCs, business angels, and all of that. And actually past year, so during the Corona, smart decision to fundraise. But we managed to fundraise our seed or extended seed. I don't know how you can call it. Mm-hmm. And we're really proud of it. Now concerning investments from our partners, no. So we... as much as we like working with them and we are developing solutions for them, we need to keep our neutrality, right? And we are there for all supermarket chains. So it would be a bit difficult, you know, to have investments from one chain and still be
independent,
still be capable to develop in other competitive chains.
And what about the commercial expansion strategy? So you started now, you cover Luxembourg. What's the next step? The Benelux, France, all the continental Europe, United States? I don't know.
Yeah, of course, we have a particular development strategy. So what we did is we did a product market fit for 2 years and a half in order to be sure that once we go outside of our borders, we can have a scale-up that is worth the scale-up. So our strategy is first, of course, extend in Europe, and we will go in countries where food waste is really a nightmare. And as you mentioned, of course, North America is very bad in food waste, such as Asia is very bad at food waste.
Sure.
So, you know, we will develop in the world since food waste is an issue on an international level. Mm. And yeah, wherever our services are needed, we will develop.
And if you allow me two more questions about the culture of the supermarket changed. It's also dependent of the nationality. I don't know if the management of the German supermarket chain have the same culture in regard of food waste than the French one. Did you notice this kind of difference, or they are all very open to the question and to solve this problem?
Well, you need to, of course, and you mentioned it, to take into consideration the culture of the supermarket chain, right? Where supermarket chain was born, the founders and nationality behind, mm-hmm. understand how they are working. And as you mentioned, you know, Germany is not working as the same as France, mm-hmm. as Luxembourg is not working the same as Belgium, as we are not working the same as the US, right? So we really need to adapt to each culture in order to understand the issue and where it comes from. Yeah. Now, obviously, you don't only have the culture that plays in, you have the laws. And if you don't know the laws from each country, well, it's going to be a bit difficult for you to navigate.
Yeah, but with your background, I think it's more easy to decipher all these particularities, right?
For sure. And that's why I'm really grateful to have studied law. Basically I wanted to become a lawyer, but I really realized quickly that it was not really meant for me. And I wanted to do something impactful. So, you know, law is useful, and it will be useful in the future years, and it helped us to navigate pretty quickly as well. Yeah.
Great. Elena, it was a fantastic moment because your startup is really amazing. Your adventure is fascinating, and you did such a great job with such an important problem. And the solution you bring to the world is very, very nice. And I think you will have a great success in the future years. And I hope to have you again in the show. If you have one advice to a younger self, or to any young entrepreneur or student who dream to launch his own startup, what would be this advice?
I would say, everybody has dreams, and you need to go and get your dreams, right? You need to be motivated. But what is really necessary to attain your dreams? Because nothing is impossible, right? Mm-hmm. Even the word impossible says I am possible. So you need to have discipline. Discipline is something that will drive you, that will help you achieve your goals, attain your dreams. And voila, nothing is impossible. As long as you're disciplined and motivated, you will manage to get it through.
Absolutely. Et voilà. I totally agree with you. Elena, it was a great, great moment. Thank you again for this moment. I think people will love your story and your startup when they will hear about it. And thank you again. Thank you so much for being
here. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you for this great opportunity. So, please download the FRA app if it's available in your country, obviously. And if other supermarket chains are interested to work with us, they can directly contact us, obviously. This was my little commercial. commercial save. But thank you so much for having me. And I wish you all a wonderful day, if it's the day or evening, if it's the evening. And hope to see you soon.
Thank you very much. See you. Bye-bye.